Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to the chapter we read together, the second book of the Kings, chapter 5, and the 10th verse. The second book of the Kings, chapter 5, and verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. The second book of the Kings, chapter 5, and verse 10. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, Go, and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. There's no doubt, beloved friends, that Naaman, before the king of Assyria, as we are told, was an honourable man. What a mercy it is if the Lord were to raise up in our dark and solemn day men that are honourable before God and before the nation. Now this is what the Holy Spirit has recorded concerning him. And the margin tells us concerning honourable, gracious, because by the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man of valour. There are two things really that stand out concerning him. The first is what an upright, honourable man he was, and yet he was a leper. So often we find, not only in the Lord's servants, but too in the Lord's dear people, there are those things that we're blessed and favoured with, and yet there's much to keep you down. And we find this with Naaman. You see, he had this leprosy, which was no doubt a great trial and burden to him. And if you think of leprosy, we don't hear much of it today, but it's mostly throughout scriptural days, because, and it is now seen still in very hot countries abroad. It is a very contagious infection that affects the skin and often can cause the loss of even fingers and toes. So it is, and that in these days with antibiotics, of course, it is curable. But in those days, because of the terrible state of those that had it, they were shunned aside and despised. But of course, there is the spiritual side of it. I wonder in your heart and mine this afternoon how many of us truly feel the leprosy there is within. The terribleness of sin. We're defiled by it, like a leper is defiled by the leprosy. And where that leprosy is seen naturally, it is a most degrading affliction. But think about it in our hearts. Oh, we're all men, are lepers really before God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But how many really feel it? Those, like no doubt with Naaman, it was a great sore and trial to him. And man couldn't heal it. Man couldn't begin to restore him. Not even the wise doctors and physicians of those days could. They may be able to help in certain measure. But look at it in our souls. You know, there's none but the Lord can remove that leprosy. And there was none but the Lord could remove the leprosy that there was in Naaman. Now, there's just a few things I just want to look at as help this afternoon. It really came to me so powerfully when this text came and the case of Naaman, the great need of us to be washed and to be cleansed. And really it follows on from what we looked at this morning of the great sufferings of the dear Redeemer, how he suffered, bled and died for lepers that they might be cleansed. His dear people that are taught by the Holy Spirit so much of the sin and vileness and corruption there is within our heart. And who is it that needs that cleansing? It's those that truly feel it, isn't it? The world are contaminated by sin, but they don't feel it. It's only when the sin has given life in their souls they can truly feel the sin within and the vileness. Many own their sins, but how many feel it before the Lord, as sinners in God's sight. But what really so rested upon me concerning the case of Naaman was the wonderful way the Lord worked. It wasn't by chance that that little maid had been taken from Israel into Syria. And we read in the Word of God that a little child shall lead them. We know, there's many occasions where the Lord in his Word has used a little child to lead his dear people. But of course that particularly speaks of the dear Redeemer when he came and was born in Bethlehem's manger. But you think of it concerning this little maid. She was there by God's appointment. She wasn't taken from Israel by chance. She was there to be the messenger of God to Naaman's wife in instructing him where to go for deliverance. And that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? A little child shall lead them. And we see the faith in this little child, this little maid. And one thinks of the little ones in Zion today. What a mercy it is when they are the messengers. You see, the Lord can use whom he pleases. I told you maybe before of the late Mr. Kirby. It was pastor at Staplehurst. He was in such great trial in Providence. He had a printing business and used to print the Gospel Standard in those days, and everything seemed to be gone wrong, and the dear man was in such a state in his soul and too in the business, and he got so low he didn't even feel he could pray or even read the Word of God. He said it seemed like a closed book and the heavens seemed like grass. And he took his Bible and he said, "Lord, I can't read it anymore." And he threw it down the cellar. And the day went on and it got to the evening time and his children were small. And he always used to read to them before they went to bed. And there they sat round in the room, and he walked in the door and they said, "Daddy, aren't you going to read to us tonight?" And those words broke his heart. He said it was hard work to go down that cellar and get the Bible and bring back. And he said, "I read it and I believe the Lord would appear." Now it was those little children that led him. A little child shall lead them. And you think here concerning this little maid out of the land, in a fine land, out of Israel, that was to direct him where to go, and to direct him to go to the man of God. We read in the scriptures in the New Testament, don't we, the miracles of Jesus. That dear maid had proved the miracles that Elisha could do. He was a man of God. And so she directs him to go to the king, and the king send the letter to the king of Israel. And how he rent his clothes, the king did, as we read, didn't we? But then Elisha heard of it. And Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go, wash in Jordan 7 times. This was the message which Elisha was to give to Naaman. But as the king rent his clothes, and we read that it came to pass when the king of Israel read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man doth send unto me to recover a man of leprosy? Wherefore consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." And it came, and it was so, when Elisha the man of God heard that the king of Israel rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, "Wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come now to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." But there's another searching solemn point when Naaman heard the message from Elisha. Oh, how he was wroth. You know, there's a solemn word of teaching here, really. You know, man may try and say this or say that, like Naaman did. He thought, "Well, why can't I go and wash in the rivers of Damascus? Are not Abana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in a rage. Think how solemn that was. He didn't want to do, his nature didn't, what the man of God had commanded. But you know, the Lord was to bring him to the point where he had to go to Jordan. And his servant came near and spake unto him. And may we take heed to this. And said, "My father, if the prophet had bid thee do some great thing, Wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather then, when he saith to thee, wash and be clean? And then immediately we find Naaman willing to go. But just to step back to this, the anger there was in him. You know, we may plan, we may scheme, we think, well, this is right or that is right, and anger begins to creep into us. Well, you see, that may not be God's way. Anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Naaman was proving his foolishness here. We need to take heed to that, lest we should be angry. Angry with the Lord, angry with his dealings with us, angry maybe with his people. You see, if you act rightly in a matter, there's always those going to be angry. It's solemn, really, but I'd rather be on the side of those that walk humbly and tenderly in the fear of God than showing forth anger. But oh, the Lord made him willing to go down to Jordan. And he had to do exactly what the prophet had commanded. And he went down and dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again, like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You think of the difference. Instead of all this affliction that had so plagued his body, his flesh now was like the flesh of a child. Now think of it in our hearts. You know, when the Lord washes the sinner from all sin, it's just as though they'd never sinned. That's how perfect the Lord's work is and his way is. And may we be stirred up in our hearts this afternoon to be clean, to be washed, to be plunged in that precious fountain that's for sin and uncleanness. And that's why we hope to sing those two sacred hymns at the ordinance. I'll tell you why those hymns dropped in when thinking about Naaman and the need of being cleansed. There's a verse that's a very sweet verse in that 45th hymn that seemed to so rest upon me. Fly, then awaken, sinner, fly. Your case admits no stay. The fountain's open now for sin. Come, wash your guilt away. Oh, you think of Naaman. He went down filthy. He came home absolutely clean. 7 times. You know, throughout the Word of God, the Lord has used that complete number of 7 so many times. You think of Ahab, when the Lord sent Elijah to send the message to him, there's a sound of abundance of rain. What did the servant do? He went up. There was nothing. But then he says, go again 7 times. It may be you're praying for something. And the devil said, oh, you prayed this amount of times or that. Go again 7 times. Give the Lord no rest. This is what it means. And here he has to go again down into that washing 7 times to be absolutely clean. The walls of Jericho, they were compassed about 7 days, and then they fell down on the 7th day. Oh, do we not need cleansing from not only 7 sins, as the Word tells us, but 70 times 7 to be cleansed, to be washed, to be forgiven? So think of this word of the text, and Elisha sent a messenger unto him. Oh, to be that messenger. It must have been a wonderful message, wasn't it, to deliver? And may it be the message to your soul and mine this afternoon. Oh, to hear the message of heaven. There may be those of you that are so contaminated by sin and corrupt throughout, Lord, am I one of thy children? Do thy children truly feel this wretched leprosy like I do? Well, may this message be for your poor soul. Go and wash in Jordan 7 times. And thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean. We read another in one of the hymns about being clean every whit, washed throughout, purged, cleansed. Before I leave it, one thinks of those lepers, and we looked at on Thursday, those of you who are present will remember the 4 lepers that went to tell that wondrous message of deliverance from the Assyrians and the wonderful provision of the Lord in providing for Israel. But you know, when there were those 10 lepers that came to the Saviour, may we be graciously concerned not only to be washed and to be clean, but when the Lord favours us with a taste of his forgiving love, pardon within, cleansing from all sin, that we may give him the praise. And what do we read concerning these 10? And he said, were there not 10 cleansed when this one came to return thanks and give the Lord the praise? The dear man was so melted, the Lord had cleansed him from all his sin. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, for he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Oh, may we lay that to our hearts this afternoon. When the Lord does favour us, may we ever return thanks. Give him the glory. The benefit is ours. The glory belongs to the Lord. And you think here of the case of Naaman with all his blackness through this leprosy. There was only the Lord could cleanse him. And the Lord wonderfully did it in Jordan. Not what he thought in the rivers of Abana and Pharpar. It must be in Jordan, in Israel. The Lord was there, you see. And the Lord had provided those waters of Jordan to cleanse him. And the Lord has provided, poor soul, for your soul and mine, a precious fountain. And it's open for sin and for uncleanness. I mention it this morning, that beautiful word, and may it be music to some sin-sick soul this afternoon. There is a fountain that's filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. You see, Naaman had to be plunged into Jordan to be delivered from all the leprosy, and the poor sinner to die even in 2013 that's washed in the precious blood of Jesus will be clean, just like Naaman was naturally. May it be so in each of our souls. And may we be striving and longing and wrestling for it, because eternity is before us each. As I've said many times, it is the passport for heaven, the forgiveness of all sin. May we be able to say with the dear hymn writer, I'm clean, just God, I'm clean. Well, may the Lord help us as we gather around his table. Amen.